This is the Baltimore Sports Free For All.
So, here we are again with another Ravens episode of the Baltimore Sports Free For All. And you were thinking, well, after the loss of Kelechi Osemele to free agency, him signing with the Oakland Raiders, since extending the contract of Joseph Vincent Flacco, since signing Sharice Wright, tendering Kamar Aiken, and signing free agent tight end Benjamin Watson, you were thinking to yourself, well, the Ravens don't have that much cap room. They possibly couldn't make any more moves. Oh, how so wrong we were, Ray. How so wrong we were.
Eric Weddle from out of nowhere.
I know. I'll be honest with you. When that signing occurred, and of course, this was on Monday, March 14th, Eric Weddle was one of the hottest safeties out there in terms of free agency. Weddle signed a four-year, $26 million deal with the Baltimore Ravens. Of course, it's going to be one of those deferred deals where the first 2 years is not going to be paying as much, and then once year three and year four come around, the Ravens are going to have to pony up some cap space for Eric Weddle. But in the meantime, before we get to all that, let's look at the signing in itself. You're looking at a 31-year-old safety, just turned 31. In his nine-year career, Ray, he's only had three seasons where he's played less than 16 games. If that, he's only played 13 games, the least he's ever played in a season. Three-time Pro Bowler, was the NFL interceptions leader in 2011. Let me ask you this. Was this the best signing the Ravens made this offseason?
Without a doubt. I mean, considering the fact that they followed it up with Mike Wallace, and that's the one that people are kind of scratching their heads about just a little bit, considering, you know, his inconsistencies in the wide receiver position. But Eric Weddle himself, I mean, other than the incident that he had with the Chargers, like last year when they were playing against the Dolphins, they were had like a halftime show. His daughter was performing. He wanted to actually stay out there and watch instead of being with his team in the locker room. And apparently he got some heat on him for that. They fined him $10,000. He filed a grievance with the players' union and had a little bit of a falling out with the Chargers there. With Eric Weddle making the signing, especially, he didn't follow the money with the Baltimore Ravens. He followed the organization itself. He followed the fact that he wanted to play with a good quarterback. Not an elite quarterback, apparently, but a good quarterback. So there'll be people be questioning that. It's like, oh, what, Joe Flacco's not elite? You had to put the word good? That's what's going to happen right here? No, no, he's just putting it down there just to say he wanted to play for a good quarterback. Just leave it at that and just be happy that you got yourself Eric Weddle. Wait, that was Mike Wallace who said that about the good quarterback. But going back to Eric Weddle, I just contradicted my entire statement there. But Eric Weddle himself, in terms of, you know, the contract that he was offered, he could have taken other deals, but he decided to go with the Baltimore Ravens. Apparently, he was being offered a deal by the Super Bowl runner-ups, the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, also the New England Patriots, I believe, were in the running for him as well.
So you've got the Carolina Panthers, where they finished up with being the runners-up to the Super Bowl. They could very well be back there next year.
Possibly win it
if they can keep their receivers healthy and actually give Cam Newton some weapons.
And if Cam Newton is in a happy mood.
Yeah, there's that as well, and he can actually not fumble the ball or go after a fumble or everything else that he was criticized for after the Super Bowl was over with. And then you talk about the New England Patriots.
The AFC runner-up.
And just how solid of an organization that is, despite all the cheating scandals hanging over their head. They still, year in and year out, succeed and find a way to just, you know, draft well, scout well, just rebuild and reload their team with just talent, and their players take pay cuts. They find ways to get loyalty. And yet one Eric Weddle decided to not choose those teams for the Baltimore Ravens, who finished oh so bad in 2015.
They weren't the Browns, but they were pretty bad last year.
And their quarterback, they don't currently have a quarterback controversy in Baltimore right now, and not only do in Cleveland, because their quarterback can't stay out of trouble and stop drinking himself to death. And now he's gone, Johnny Manziel. We barely knew ye. We barely knew ye, Johnny Football. There are people questioning your character in college, and I guess you're proving them right, kids. Prove them right.
Yeah, with the Weddle situation, this is how it all stemmed and how he ended up becoming the biggest free agent as far as safeties were concerned. Eric Weddle, at the time, he was playing with the Chargers for a majority of his career. One of their best players, Ray, and we look at guys who are gamers. This is a guy who has well over 800 tackles in his career, could possibly have well over 1,200 when it's all said and done and could be on his way to a Hall of Fame career. I mean, I know it's crazy to think like that, but usually, generally safeties that have that many interceptions, that many tackles, that just have a nose for the ball, 71 pass deflections in his career as well. So that shows you that he's always in the passing zone when there's a ball headed in his direction. It amazed me how the Chargers could not do anything they could to hold on to this guy, because whenever you watched a game, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ray, didn't Eric Weddle stop a Ravens drive late in the fourth quarter at M&T Bank Stadium not too long ago?
I do believe that is the same individual.
In the back and forth offense game, yes. And that shows you how tough that Chargers secondary was during that time with Eric Weddle manning the field back there. So now you're in a situation where you sign this guy, he's going to be very angry. The minute he steps on that field and faces the Chargers, he's going to do everything he can to shut them down defensively. So this begs the question, and we're just talking defense in this portion here. Given the fact that you've had an incident with Terrell Suggs, who just got charged on two accounts for the suspended license this past week, or last week, I should say, and also hitting an object, whatever the case may be, could Eric Weddle possibly position himself as the new defensive captain for the Baltimore Ravens? Do you think he could possibly do that?
New guy on campus? I mean, who else would you pick after Suggs?
Yeah, yes, Terrell Suggs, he's on his way to a Hall of Fame career. Yes, he has a Defensive Player of the Year trophy hanging on his mantle. He's been to many Pro Bowls. Oh, he's a Super Bowl champion. Weddle's never been Defensive Player of the Year. He's never been a Super Bowl champion. However, I think when you ask most scouts around the league, defensive scouts especially, they will tell you firsthand that Eric Weddle, without a doubt, is one of the smartest players in the National Football League when it comes to having a defensive nose for the football. So here's another question, Ray. Your cornerbacks seem to be set right now with Sharice Wright and Jimmy Smith. Your safety seem to be set with now Eric Weddle starting and possibly Will Hill coming back as well.
But wait a minute, though. I want to ask you a question about that.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got Eric Weddle now. You've got all these safeties in your disposal. Ladarius Webb, Will Hill, Kendrick
Lewis. I was going to ask you about Ladarius Webb.
And Matt Elam. What do you do with these guys?
Ooh, I think...
Because I'm looking at Jameson Hensley's article on ESPN.com.
Baltimore Sun writer Jameson Hensley?
Yeah, he put up a blog post putting everybody, all those safeties that we just named, their cap numbers and their cap hits as well. The one who has the biggest savings is Ladarius Webb, but then you've also got a lot of dead money with him.
Yep, that is very true. And I would not be surprised if something happens with him down the road, because let's face it, if Will Hill is going to be your starter, Eric Weddle is going to be your starter, if Sharice Wright and Jimmy Smith are going to be your starters, you can't necessarily just leave Ladarius Webb out on the bench there eating up all that money. Steve Bisciotti's a businessman, so when he sees that, he's got to say, I got to do something about this. I got to make a trade with somebody. I got to talk to somebody to get him off my hands.
Like I said, $3 million in cap room is a lot of money in terms of when you're trying to squeeze out every penny in terms of the salary cap.
And the Ravens need offensive lineman help as well, too.
Ooh. So with Ladarius Webb, I mean, I do like the guy. I produced a show a couple times when he did a show out at a car dealership in local Baltimore. But with him, it's tough to say. His play has been seriously downgraded, especially since his injury. He signed a contract, then immediately got injured after that contract, and then ever since then just has not played the same. He now has to take himself out of the cornerback role and go into safety. That's kind of an unknown with him at safety. He's played, I think he played like, what, two or three games in place of Will Hill last year?
If that.
Yeah, he did go in place of Will Hill, and Will Hill himself actually is a penalty machine. So I would think it's a toss up between Webb and Hill, to tell you the truth, and it could go either way. But I'll tell you this much though: Ozzie Newsome and John Harbaugh could have some serious egg on their face if Ladarius Webb ends up getting cut by the Ravens.
Moving on from defense to offense, where the Ravens on the day of this podcast, Tuesday, March 15th, 2016. Sign Mike Wallace to a two-year, $11.5 million contract. And you look at Mike Wallace in his career, in his first 2 years with Pittsburgh, outstanding wide receiver. posted back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, and Ben Roethlisberger during that time made Mike Wallace a lot of money because I believe following that, he signed a four-year, $60 million deal, if I'm not mistaken, with the Miami Dolphins, and then, oh yeah, that didn't pan out. And then he went to the Minnesota Vikings, and yeah, that didn't pan out. So basically what I'm saying is, since those first 2 years in Pittsburgh, he just was not the same guy. Didn't have 1,000-yard seasons. So now, well, then again, to his defense, he had Ryan Tannehill and Teddy Bridgewater thrown to him.
Well,
and
Teddy Bridgewater ain't too bad.
No, Teddy Bridgewater isn't too bad, but he's not necessarily considered a prolific passing quarterback.
Well, of course, you could be Larry Fitzgerald and have any quarterback throw at you and still put up all pro numbers.
So are you saying Teddy Bridgewater needs Larry Fitzgerald?
No, what I'm saying is that Mike Wallace could have carried the load and actually made Ryan Tannehill and Teddy Bridgewater better than what they already are. I mean, Ryan Tannehill's not very good, but Teddy Bridgewater's good. It could have made him even better and actually put up some decent numbers for Bridgewater, but yeah, that is neither seen nor heard. This is, well, it's going to be a controversial signing all throughout the season, especially when he starts dropping passes. But
yeah,
with Mike Wallace, you do get the speed combo right there, something that the Ravens are kind of lacking. They do got Kamar Aiken with his little bit of a speed, but they need another speedy guy, as Steve Smith himself is coming off of an injury, was supposed to retire last year, and then had to reconsider it considering how his season ended and also considering how the Ravens' season in general ended themselves. I will say this, though, about the Mike Wallace signing. It couldn't hurt because they do need some receiver help. Yeah. And it's a low cap number for a receiver in his position. So it's a good signing, I believe, now for the Baltimore Ravens. And looking at the Ravens' record last year, all those losses that they had at the beginning of the season,
5-11,
could have easily been flipped the other way. You could have flipped the script on those losses.
Very
because
true.
A lot of them came down to the wire and were decided by one score, or by just basically one score. And if you flip-flop that, the Ravens also could have been in the playoffs, and we would have had a totally different conversation, even though Joe Flacco probably still would have been hurt, and that would have ended the season right then and there. But with the additions of Eric Weddle and Mike Wallace, does this make the Ravens that marginally better to where they could have flipped the script last year?
Yeah, and you have to also look at the addition of Ben Watson. Now you solved an issue of a starting tight end. You solved the issue of a starting safety. And oh yeah, in case one of your receivers goes down, you have a guy that can start at the wide receiver position in Mike Wallace. Now, let me ask you this. Ranking from best to worst signing so far, like not best to worst, but best to least, Ben Watson, Eric Weddle, Mike Wallace, how do you have it?
Weddle, Watson, Wallace.
So I guess we're in agreement. You don't have as much faith in Wallace making an impact with the team this year.
I don't think he's going to hurt, but as I said, I just don't think he's not as key as those two guys are.
Yep. Strange story before we close out this episode. I was going out for a walk as the news broke. Well, after the news broke, hours later, and I posted something on social media saying, I'm not too crazy about the Mike Wallace signing, but if we do have a couple of receivers healthy this year, the Ravens are going to do pretty good. So then a neighbor stopped me and said, "So you don't like the Mike Wallace signing, huh?" And he was wearing a Ravens hat. And I'm like, no, 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 no. I like the signing if, and that's a big if, Ray, and you agree with that, the Ravens receiving core is healthy this year. That means a healthy Steve Smith Sr., an active and healthy Kamar Aiken, and a definitely healthy second year, well, technically it'll be his first year, Breshad Perriman. And that's going to be a huge indicator right there of where the Ravens are going to go if all those receivers are on the up and up in terms of their health status.
And that all depends also, that's a big if with Breshad Perriman, because his stock has been dropping as well. And considering, you know, this is football and players do get hurt and the way the turf is, yeah, that's a big if to hang your hat on. Hopefully the Ravens can overcome the injury bug that they had last year and overcome, like I said, those one score games that did not go in their favor. It's a lot of ifs for the season coming up, and it's still a long way to go. We don't even know what they're going to be doing into the draft as of right now. I mean, they do definitely need a run stoppers with Haloti Ngata is sorely missed on that line. But we will find out in due time. Come April, this is another edition of the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All. I am Ray Atkinson.
And I am Josh Hall.
And we will see you all.